one on the clock. We'll call to order the Board of Equalization meeting. The Open Meetings Act is posted on the east wall. And while we're doing that, Scott's here, but you know why Doug isn't? I guess it doesn't matter. I mean, I just.
He usually has a ring in the morning, but I know he's always late to
court. Oh, never thought of that. I mean, he's not here. Other than that, I didn't know. Yeah. On Thursday morning, he usually has a radio show. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove agenda as presented.
I'd move to approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Bauman. Vote. Denny, you're. You're at zero. Oh, I didn't do attendance by observation. Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann, Jurgens will be gone all day, and so will Roger. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove minutes of the previous meeting.
I would move to approve the minutes of the previous meeting.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Bauman. Vote. 6-0. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Gus isn't jumping up, so no comments from the public and seeing none others. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove tax correction slips numbers 14 through 16, and we're passing those around there right now.
I would move to approve those.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Lytle. And if somebody wants to look at that, we'll wait just a minute.
Yeah.
Or Patty can explain them maybe a little bit.
That's the lady that had a little piece of ground sold off since 1978. And state law only requires us to give it back current year and 3 years back. So
a total of 4 years.
I think it was, what, $20-some dollars a year?
$25 and something.
Back in those days, it might have been a lot cheaper. Most likely was, so. But I have no way of going back.
But all three of them are for that parcel?
Yeah.
Not any more questions. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Patty?
Not much for you. You're going to be billing here pretty soon, sending out tax statements, so. That's about all that's going on. Homesteads are all in, so we're helping people with those. Unless anybody has any questions, we're working on our values for next season already. So, figure out plotting on the map. So if anybody wants to stop down and look at especially our ag land again, you know, it gives you an idea of where our sales are from last year to this year. So it's kind of interesting to see. I don't have much for you guys today.
The property, and he hasn't gotten back to me. The property down there by Lanham that sold, the one that was in Kansas, those taxes on that ground was $12.65 an acre. But I asked him, well, what was it here in Nebraska? And he said, well, between 35 and 40, he wasn't sure he was going to get back to me on that. But that sold for $49.50.
$4,950 an acre. $4,950. Kind of like cropland?
Majority of it was cropland. There was a little bit of trees and a little bit of grass, but majority of it was cropland.
Where was that?
You can have that.
It was by Lanham, and it was just in Kansas, where the state line is. That family had one quarter in Kansas and one quarter in Nebraska years ago, and then it got divided kind of between the family and the piece in the ground in Kansas sold. They still have the piece of ground in Nebraska. They didn't sell that. So, and the only reason, I mean, was just to compare a little bit, you know, other than that.
I don't know. They have other tax, though, they have tax on food, of course. I don't know what else the tax would be that would, you know.
They have a considerable tourism tax that they get in
Kansas does.
Fairly significant oil and natural gas, more significant than you think of Kansas.
They have some out in there, don't they?
I mean, because really, you know, but when you look at the Odell, it is so reasonable compared, you know, because the pipelines are going through that. I mean, their levies and their rates are just extremely, I mean, great down there. I mean, if it was all through the county, that would be perfect. But we brought in the Rockies, and the wind farms have probably helped some. I don't know if we've ever done a study on that to see. Because there's 12. There's 12 engaged. But so you got... Dillard Odell coming across, Dillard I mean, Jefferson, but that school tax rate's real reasonable.
When we set their rate, they have by far the lowest rate in our county.
Oh, yeah, because of all the valuation going through there. One thing I am, you know, I am going to take on the vice president of the 17th Southeast Districts tomorrow. So if there's anything anybody wants to be brought up, what we do as a Southeast District, which is kind of interesting, is we work with NACO a lot because Larry Dix used to be the county deputy county assessor out in Kearney years ago before he took over his.
Years ago.
Yeah. But he's very knowledgeable, and he kind of watches things that are definitely, you know, in the legislative side. So we have one representative from, like, the Panhandle, the Northeast, and the Southeast District. So we bring up things. So if there's anything that anybody ever wants, we have one really good gal that goes and testifies. I mean, she pretty much lives at the Capitol, which is good, you know, because she's very passionate about it. She's been an assessor for quite a long time. And
what all is your Southeast District?
It's the 17 counties that, like, well, it'd be all the way from, like, Pawnee, and then we go up to Omaha, which is Douglas, Sarpy, Cass, Fillmore, there, Jefferson, and then all, there's 17 of us. Then you have the Panhandle District, the Northeast District, so they're quad, you know, they're different. And then we send notes to each other's assessors, too, as a president or whatever. And then we decide what topics are real important in front of the legislature.
It's interesting how those districts are divided. There's so many different groups. I know several that I belong to that have a certain number of counties, and it's different in one group than it is in the other group, rather than being consistent on you'd be in this 16 or this 16.
Well, and it's real. And out west, you know, you have smaller counties, which your clerk, treasurer, and your assessor are all one official. So, but we still, you know, we get a lot accomplished in our meetings just because people bring up different things and different ideas. And then we share our ag lands, too, because we want to try to, you know, see that they are comparable across county lines and things like that. So, I don't know. It's a good thing. And then property tax comes over and gives some of their classes to us. Like at Mahoney, we had a 2-hour class, so that gives us hours, and then it's not a fee. Like I sent a note to that IAAO class, and that costs quite a bit of money when an instructor comes from, he's usually from Topeka, Kansas. I think hers was Brad Moore, though, from Nebraska, but if we can get hours that way, it does save, you know, as far as, so.
And the other thing was, I see you handed out that we did have three more protests filed with Turk from Doug Party and his dad.
And it's that one looks like that's all ag land. He didn't do it on his house.
I never looked at it. Yeah,
I got those over in my office. Just did
it. I have to. Yeah. So there will be 5 ag land ones and 1 house
from this year's protests that have filed with Turk. Is there a time limit on them filing?
We're still waiting on a hearing from 2013.
No, not that way. I mean, you know, if they protested this year, do they have, how long do they have to file with Turk on this year's?
30 days. Like, they filed, we got done July 25th.
Okay.
They had to file with Turk by August 25th.
Okay.
But the thing that's really, and they're going to single commissioner hearings, because they have so many out of Lancaster and Douglas. And so unless it's a, like over $1 million property, then it goes to the full panel. But Turk did get rid of one of their board members, and I don't know, or one of their board members, Prima. And I don't know that the governor appointed anybody yet. So, but there was some, like especially, there's some that are back to 2011, and how do you even remember? I mean, you've got, you know, what you've got in your notes or whatever, but to remember what's going on in 2011. So, of course, they always want us to try to settle if we can, but I'll have to look these over. I'll probably try to handle the ag ones.
But
you may want Daryl to help with the house one.
Not done. Norman, he visited with me. Does that, what he said was now that his valuation is frozen until this is settled? No? So next year we could increase his valuation again? So, and he wasn't right either. So that's why I wanted to ask you that question, too. So.
No. And the only thing is, if the ruling comes down, that's when they're that far behind, then I suppose we would have to... That's what makes it really difficult. They need to make a decision on those right away, because we're billing him, well, for this year, but we'll, January 1st, we'll start putting those increases
on
it. Yeah.
So the county actually proceeds in not with what his old valuation was. We proceed with what the valuation was that we approved. Right. And then that...
And that valuation only stands for 1 year.
1 year, okay.
So if I disagree with anything the county board does, I can reset that again for 2015 or 2016.
Next year.
So what happens then if we go ahead and move that forward knowing it's in protest? So we know that something's in protest. What if it goes the other way?
They can go to a higher court. They can go to a higher court than Turk.
No, but
what, then what, I would suggest Norm reprotest again this next year.
But I think what Matt's asking, well, could we owe back taxes back to him, I guess.
With interest, too, because now you've used their money. Yeah, see, that's...
Depends on how the ruling comes out, whether or not you do. Okay.
I'm anxious on this one to see how the ruling comes out, because I'm 15, because he's got the irrigated from a different side of the road. So I'm anxious to see what Turk does. That's probably a good case.
Yeah.
Because actually he would sell it as a dryland quarter, but it's irrigated right now. So it'd be interesting how they rule.
Yeah, I am too.
I think it can either make me take all the percentage off of, it could go either way probably with those. And I think Doug's is the same way.
Yeah.
When it's in protest, if somebody protests in 2011, say 2011 they protested, and you try to move it in 2012, they can protest 2012. So they can freeze theirs by protesting every year.
They still get the bill, and they still have to pay the taxes. The thing we'd have to do is run the correction if the Turk rules against me, and then we'll just bring it through as a correction book. So they still need to pay, because if they don't win, you'd have got interest, I would pay, and then hopefully you get a refund if that's the case. But
how many times have we gone to Turk that we've been wrong?
We've confessed judgment. We've come to a conclusion based on new evidence that the taxpayer at the time didn't give it to us. But
when they go to Turk, when they protest, how many times have they gone in favor of the property owner versus?
From what I know, none with me.
I've never known us to be overturned by Turk.
The sad thing about this, Matt, in defense of the taxpayer, is they go up without legal representation. A lot of times I have Roger or something. Well, Roger's never went with me, but I have somebody else that's, the county knows the statutes and the laws and all that, and so it becomes hard for the taxpayer if they don't have somebody that can be knowledgeable. And so I think that's why these single commissioner hearings, because sometimes what happens is the protester will proceed with the case and the county just doesn't even respond, because we know in what they've presented that they have not presented that the county's wrong. And so we don't even challenge it. We just, we know where it's kind of going. And, there's been times. I've been with Dick Smith, I think, and with Randy Rittenauer once. So sometimes you just don't even pursue much. They've put their evidence forward, but there's been nothing in the evidence that. And so that's where it's kind of unfair to the taxpayer in some sense. The only good thing is it only costs them $25.
Yeah.
But if they take an attorney with them, of course, it becomes a lot more. And I'm not saying, anything can change at any moment. I'm anxious to see what this one, what the thing is, because we've all had discussions on our irrigation, like if they cut you off on the river or whatever and things like that. But the only difference is you do have rights if you're irrigating from the river. And, this would be a little different here.
Yeah.
So.
I'm interested, too, to see how it'll turn out or whatever. So,
Myron, have we ever figured out what the cost is for us to go up and defend ourselves versus the cost of taxpayer $25, but what's it cost us to go up there, preparation? And
a lot, because we send manuals out, like you know, that are pretty good sized with everything for seven people. Well, it used to be, because usually the taxpayer needs one, the clerk needs one, and then there's three board members. There's usually seven books that go up. Then we take Daryl. Usually you hire him as a consultant, because most board members don't go. I mean, if you'd want to go and help the assessor or whatever, but usually you refer that on to, like, Daryl.
If I go, I just want to go to watch. I don't want to help. I don't know enough. I'm not knowledgeable enough.
Well, and so that's basically it. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's like doing an appraisal, kind of, because Daryl spent some time doing the legwork on that. It cost the county a considerable amount of money, because you figure I'm up there instead of in the office. Roger might be up there instead of in the office. You got Daryl that'll be up there helping defend. And he's had to go out and do some work, so it becomes expensive. But
it would be interesting to know what if we could put a somewhat of a dollar amount on it. Is it $1,500 per protest? Is it $4,000 per protest? Because when we get into arm wrestling matches over amount of dollars, it might be better off just to settle and save everybody a whole lot of time, because it's only going to cost the taxpayer $25. So if we dig our heels in the sand and fight because we like to punch people, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
And we have money on it. We have. I mean, sometimes somebody's happy with $5,000-$7,000 difference. You know, we can settle on that, and you're not talking a huge amount of, you know, we can compromise, you know, and we have done that before in the past. And we do try to do that.
It comes down to some common sense on a lot of this stuff, and I think Patty and her staff have been very good about that. They aren't hardcore. This is it, period, and there is no negotiation.
I mean, I challenge my appraisers sometimes. You know, I really do. I mean, you know, there's times when we get into... I mean, you know, the last few years, the market has been all over the place. Now I think it's starting to maybe rebound, but... Especially in small towns, it's just been everywhere. How to even appraise a small town is just because you'll go along and you'll see a ranch-style house that once was worth 60 that's worth 40 now. But it's rebounding, and we're seeing that now, so slowly, but hopefully.
Especially up in our area, there's some of the houses, even in town there, I'd call them strong sales, you know.
Well, your communities that are closer to Lincoln are stronger. Yeah. The ones, you know, this way and down, they're struggling.
They're struggling yet. Yeah.
No, and that's kind of sad, but it's just the way it is. People want closer to the city.
Well, thank you for the discussion, Patty. It's 8:49, so unless anybody else has anything, we will adjourn.